I don't know about you, but I needed that. Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome. I hate to set this on the speaker, so sorry about the camera shot. There's going to be a cup of water in the bottom there. But so welcome this morning to a wide open space up here on top of this hill that we, week after week after week, and every time I come up here, it just gets better. Whether I'm walking on the labyrinth or I'm going to take this earring off because it's banging. I know. Walking the dogs or sitting under the oak grove at the Peace Park or being in a staff meeting or a board meeting. And I know that sounds like, ugh, you know, they are wonderful. And the reason being is that there are people here like you all who come here with open hearts, who come here because you were guided in some way, for some reason, at some time. And what I'm talking about today, called the wise and the woolly, it's about the three wise men, and it's also about the sheep, thus the woolly. But if you consider the story of the wise men, and I'll give you a little bit of history about that, but wandering in the desert, and we think of them wandering aimlessly, but no, they were guided. They were guided by a star, most likely, probably a comet is some of the speculation. It wasn't just a star that appeared, it was some form of a comet. So the actual historical story of the wise men, there were not three in the Bible. In the nativity story, there are two places that the nativity story show up. It's in Luke and it's in Matthew. But Matthew is the only gospel where it actually says there were wise men. And then the speculation hundreds of years later were because it was written that there was gold, frankincense, and myrrh, then there's three gifts, there must have been three wise men. You see how things change over time, and they do. Because what we also know is that Luke and Matthew were written probably close to 70 to close to 100 years after the death of Jesus. They weren't actually present, and the guy that wrote Matthew was not actually Matthew. And the guy, we could go on and on and on. But the gist of the story is that the historical account was there were wise men, yes. They were guided, and they were. They come from the speculation is they come from the Zoroastrian. If I could say it right, it's one of the most. It's one of the oldest religions that's still being practiced in the world, and they were essentially astronomers, scientists, astrologers. They looked at the stars and they saw the patterns and they saw all of the constellations and they saw this kind of thing. And they also consulted Hebrew scripture about going back and saying the coming of a Messiah, the coming of Messiah. So there was kind of this perfect storm of, oh, we're scholars, we're knowledge people, we are kind of spiritual counselors to kings. They were wealthy. So they were kind of higher up in society. They were educated, certainly. But they were guided to something, and there was the rumblings of the coming Messiah. So they're going on a little trip to do their thing through the desert, and they happened to pass through and run into King Herod. And he said, well, we hear this other king is coming along, and Herod says, well, go and figure out what that's all about. Not because he was interested in being, you know, losing his power, but he was kind of along the ways. And his words to the wise men were, please take him some gifts and then come back and tell me what's going on there, right? Because after the fact, I'm going to go find him and kill him. So the wise men are guided. They didn't really question it. They have this knowledge, this wisdom. They, you know, called the wise men because of their knowledge. And something that we know about our knowledge in our human capacity is what we call wisdom is really just a series of collective experiences of cause and effect, right? Our intellectual wisdom is that, oh, I did this, this happened, Therefore, in my mind, the next time this happens, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And collectively, we take the intellectual part of it and we say, oh, this is our wisdom. I'm smart now. I know that cause and effect. Intellectual wisdom is different from spiritual wisdom. If you've ever had a moment of something and not knowing why you know it or how you know it, but there's something, if you've had this experience, you feel the intellect connect to the heart space, and there's this channel, there's this openness of, wow, I just know this. It's the divine urge in us that is looking for, seeking, being called to grow and expand. And so we follow, or sometimes we maybe hesitantly follow the guidance, or we put our hand up and say, no, not me today. No, go pick somebody else. But the wise men were wise in both intellect and in spiritual wisdom, because they knew enough to say, hey, something big's going down here. We're going to go check it out. And the thing was, is when they actually got there and they saw it, and of course the story is, the wise men came after Jesus was born. So it's a little, we're a little out of sequence here in the Advent season, but the wise men actually, the Feast of the Epiphany came, is now January 6th, is celebrating that, oh, the kings went, the wise men, sometimes called kings, went to see the baby Jesus. He's already been born. So we're a little out of our sequence in the nativity story. But they went to check it out. And sometimes we also know, I know that we're guided to do something and we hear something from somebody else. Like we think of King Herod saying, hey, go check this out for me. And usually we can sense when there's an agenda behind it, right? Somebody's saying, hey, go check this out for me. The wise men were wise enough in their spiritual wisdom to say, hey, when they got there, they met this light being. They knew, wow, there is something really, really going on here. And what they did, instead of going back to Herod, was they hightailed it out and said, uh-uh, we're not going to go back and tell him that this is happening. He's going to find out soon enough. Later story, not for this talk today, but yeah, Herod was a little ticked off. And about 30 years later, we know what happened to Jesus with Herod being ticked off. So, these guys are guided. There's a lot of symbolism, first of all, in the number three and throughout Hebrew Scripture and New Testament and all spiritual traditions, all of the numbers, there's all kinds of good things going on there. But if you think of the gifts that they brought, Melchior of Persia brought gold. The metaphysical idea behind that is the spiritual gifts, the richness of spirit, the riches of spirit, consciousness of the omnipresent richness of substance, and that's from Charles Fillmore. So you think of it as the spirit being. When we think of the Trinity, we think of spirit, soul, or soul slash law, spiritual law, and body, physical form. Gaspar of India, frankincense, represents in man the transmutation of the material consciousness into the spiritual, the divinity, the deity. And Balthazar of Arabia brought myrrh, represents the eternity of spirit, an emblem of the resurrection, an ointment of love, human nature, mortality, and also a symbol of death because they used myrrh as an embalming substance when they buried folks. And that's our body. So when we talk about spiritual wisdom and consciousness, there are actually five kingdoms or five realms of spirit of consciousness. And the first is the mineral or the elemental, the rocks. And you think about that grounding rock thing, the riches in that. Gold is a mineral. Gold in its purest form is an element on the periodic table in science. Coming out of the ground, it's pure, and it cannot be, it does not change unless there is an outside force acting on it. The next level of consciousness is the plant kingdom, where there is that seed, that divine urge, that whatever that divine pattern is in that seed, it will grow on its own. Yes, it needs air. Yes, it needs water. And yes, it needs soil. But there is nothing that is acting on it that will make it change. And the next level of consciousness is the animal kingdom, where it's instinct and that divine urge to stay alive, to find food, to find shelter, to survive, to procreate, to reproduce, to keep the species going, doesn't have so much choice. And the next level is the conscious human, where we know we have that choice. And we can say, yes, I can choose how I find my shelter, how I find my food, how I find ways to reproduce and keep the species going. But we also have that other thing. We are aware and conscious. Most of us are conscious and aware of that divine urge that is always pushing us along and guiding us, giving us that guidance if we will just shut up long enough to hear it and listen. And we can choose. We can choose to follow it or not. The fifth realm of consciousness is the divine kingdom, and that is what the Christ consciousness is and was. That knowing in human form, being so absolutely assured of our connection to spirit, to know that we are always in concert with it, because it is in us, acting through us, as us. It has taken form in us. So the wise men were somewhere in between. They weren't quite divine consciousness, but they were working on it, like many of us here, most of us here. We have those moments of grace, and we have those moments of going, oh, yay, I got it. And then the next minute, we're right back down into our human stuff. And then we try again, and we practice again, and we keep practicing, and we keep following the divine guidance. And then further, a little further down the scale, in the animal kingdom, we have those beautiful sheep, the woolies. They require guidance from an outside source because they just follow. And if you think of them in a way, they're kind of like spiritual law. It is neutral. It doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care who your parents were. It doesn't care what school you went to or not. It just follows peacefully and says yes, yes, yes. And those little sheep just ride along peacefully. The metaphysical interpretation of sheep is innocence and purity. They are just beings. They just know how to be. And sometimes they get, you know, a little off track, and that's what the shepherd's for, to just kind of keep everybody together. So you have these two realms of intelligence and intellect, spiritual wisdom, intellectual wisdom, and then you have this other end. And here they all were, surrounding this light, surrounding this upcoming, or in the case of the three wise men, this birth that had already taken place. We have those opportunities and those callings every day. A lot of us consciously ask for guidance. What is mine to do? Where am I supposed to go today or not go today? And we ask and we ask and we ask and we ask. And a lot of times, most of the time, and I include myself in this, I say, please give me an answer. 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 And this thing comes in. I go, no, that's not it. No, that's not what I want to hear. I want it to be my way. Just like the wise men with Herod. Go see the baby, come back, tell me about it. And they said, We're going because we were guided by a star or a comet. We were guided by something bigger than us that's bringing us into a new level of consciousness. We're going to follow. And plans change. They go for one reason, they get there, they find out another reason, they're not going back to the old reason. I'll share very briefly with you, many of you in this community, know that my wife and I, years ago, five to be specific, we were following a call. We were following a dream. We were following something that was undeniably, go do this. And we did. And you have shared that journey with us, many of you have, through the stories and the ups and the downs and the frustrations and the yeses and the nos and the should we, shouldn't we, should we quit, should we push on, should we keep going. And when I was putting this talk together over the last few weeks, the little pieces drift in and drift out. And then this last week, actually, it'll be 2 weeks ago Monday, over the summer we got a few of those little stop notices that said, okay, time to back up and reassess. And we did, and it was very emotional, it was very difficult, it was very challenging, and yet the call had changed. The dream had changed. The vision was shifting. And we said, well, what's the goal here? We want to go where we need to go. We want to do what we need to do. We don't want to keep fighting if it's not ours to do anymore. So we did put the, basically, if you don't know the store, we bought an historic property in Northwest Michigan that we were going to develop into a music venue and some other entertainment things to bring awesomeness from Texas to Northwest Michigan. And we learned a tremendous amount. I can't even begin to tell you, and Cindy just knows more than most people in city council in this little town in Michigan know about how things go. But in the end, at the end of the summer, it was very clear it was time to let it go. And on the one hand, it was heartbreaking, and on the other hand, it was like, no, this is the right thing to do. We're following what we know to do right now. So we put the building on the market quietly, and then this past weekend, was the annual holiday festival, which we've always gone to, and we didn't go this year. Because it's like, well, there's really no point of us opening up the building and telling people about our vision that we're not going to do. But on Monday morning, we went ahead and we put that Facebook post up that said, here's our decision. And then things got really real. Because it's one thing to sit this far away and say, yes, the building's for sale, I'm not standing there in the middle of it, and yes, it's a smart business decision, and all of those things. It's another when people start responding and saying, oh no, we didn't want you to leave. We really had a lot of hope. And we thank them for their support and their love, and a lot of them have become friends. And still, the grief that comes in when it's public and posted. That's a little bit new version of following a call, because then it's like, are you committed? Are you really committed? And the answer is yes. And that's where I'm getting to, is that guidance wherever you are is recognizing that even when something shifts for the better, and you know it's for the better, just be mindful that there will be loss. There will be feelings of grief and loss just simply because you put your love and your time and your energy into something. And it didn't turn out the way you thought it would right now. But the faith that you have to follow that guidance, to follow the right thing, it will be revealed. Just like for the wise men, they went not knowing really, they just said, hey, something's happening. We are called to go. And they went. And there was another element saying, go because I want you to go because I have my agenda. But they followed what they needed to do. And they also followed afterwards, saying, no, we're not going back to Herod. We're going to go back out where it's safe because we know what's coming down next. So I invite you and I encourage you. The blurb that I put in for this was, along the journey of our spiritual growth, we may get lost sometimes, either through our innocence or just from our ignorance. And not ignorance in a bad way, but just the ignorance of where we are in our consciousness at the time. But what we also know is that when we ask, when we seek, we are given divine guidance. So I'm going to take us into a little meditation for some guidance. Let's breathe. So we know that there are going to be times, either right now or coming in the future, that we will be feeling like we are out in a wide open space, either by design or by default, through our ignorance or through our innocence. We've either chosen to seek new understanding or we've been forced out into the open by the circumstances or conditions that require us to reassess. So bring to mind a situation right now, maybe a relationship, maybe the end of a job, the death of a loved one. Maybe a recent diagnosis that has shaken the ground from under you. A situation where once familiar territory is no longer familiar. And know that when we have these experiences, we are being asked to let go of old ways of being. But we also know we're being shown that we can't ever go back to the way things were. Must also trust that we are being guided into new levels of awareness. And even though these changes may be uncomfortable and even painful, we breathe into them. So be willing to see that you are being guided. And that it is safe for you to move forward. Be willing to put your faith in knowing that you are always protected, always supplied with everything you need for the journey. Be willing to put your faith in knowing that all is well. Because really, if it's all God, if there is truly only one presence and one power, and that presence is infinite goodness, what's happening right now must have some element of goodness in it. We don't deny the grief, we don't deny the very human feelings of loss. But we give voice to the pain. We identify the emotional pain so that healing can begin. So breathe the pain. Breathe the grief. Breathe the loss. It is safe for you to let go. Faith is a practice. It is a choice. Faith is stepping a little further out into the not yet known and trusting that there is something to give us wings when we know it's time to take flight. When we trust that all is well, we experience more of that which affirms that all is indeed well. So find your star. Find the light that's calling you. Visualize the place you know is vying for your attention right now. And if you're not sure, ask. But ask with a heart wide open. And be willing to surrender any ego ideas. Be willing to set aside fear when the answer may appear not as you prefer. Be willing to surrender to the power and the presence. Surrender to the guidance and let go of everything and focus on the star. Focus on that out of the ordinary light that's vying for your attention, that's drawing you, guiding you to your next great expression. And it's guiding you to take one step at a time. Into the light, out into the open, out of the shadows. And by taking that action step, by following that light, you will discover courage and a strength you didn't know you had. Because that is the courage and the strength of the God presence within you. And it is always in you. To know that you are loved and protected and supplied and guided, and it is safe. It is safe for you to follow that star because it is there. That all is well. So take a deep breath. And find that place of gratitude that knows that everything is indeed well. And as you feel called, join us in knowing that all is well. I surrender to the power.